Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Storms of Bruin. Yeah, that was my impression of The Wizard of Oz. Not that I watch a movie with a witch in it. This is Wretched Radio. Is it possible? Uh-oh, this is not a skirmish that should make us jump for joy. Although there are many on the internet who do jump for joy when it comes to any sort of intramural skirmish. We love those house fights. And we shouldn't. Jesus wants unity in the body. Jesus wants us to disagree agreeably and love one another. And so it is, we will endeavor to do just that because it appears that there's a storm on the horizon of biblical counseling. If you're not familiar with the history of biblical counseling, it doesn't start 40 so years ago with Jay Adams. It goes back all the way through church history. I can't help but think about the Puritans offering soul care to their hurting body, that the Bible would be applied to people's sin situation, their confusion, their emotional issue. They esteemed the Bible as sufficient for the task of helping us. Well, as the calendar continued to turn, it seems the church decided that we needed the help of professionals. So we decided, let's send our people who are hurting and aching down the street to a professional psychologist or psychiatrist because we're pastors. We can't handle those things. Well, along comes individuals like Wayne Mack and Jay Adams to say, no, we need to return to the Bible being sufficient to the cause of helping people with whatever ails them. And so it is. The resurgence of biblical counseling has been a magnificent accomplishment in evangelical Christianity. It is broad and it is deep and it is biblical and it is compassionate. But today, it appears that there are some who are interested in redefining what biblical counseling is. And this is a big deal. It's not just a big deal if you happen to be a certified biblical counselor. It's not just a big deal if your church uses biblical counseling. It's a big deal because this has everything to do with the Bible. The issue? Sufficiency. If you're not familiar with Dr. Greg Gifford, you certainly should be. His Transform podcast, it is da bomb diggity. Seriously, I look forward to it dropping every single week, but don't tell him I said that because, well, I don't want to puff him up. But it is so good. And he happens to be, oh, I hope he didn't hear that. He happens to be joining us right now, all the way from Los Angeles, California. Dr. Gifford, I got to tell you, your Transform podcast, it's awesome, dude. So thanks for every week. I just get fed by that. You can find it, by the way, at fortisplus.org. But Greg, to bring us into the conversation about what's happening in biblical counseling, would you share with us what has led to the publishing of a document for biblical counselors on the subject of sufficiency? So what has brought about your need to present to the public a position paper on what biblical counseling is and isn't?
Yes, thank you for having me, first of all. And thanks for being a Transform listener, Todd. I always look forward to your text messages whenever you have some type of comment about the episode. Those are fun.
You're talking in my ear and it's like, oh, I got to tell them what I think about this.
So to your question, what's been building within biblical counseling is the role of common grace and how common grace and biblical counseling and sufficiency all intertwine. So it's been about 2 years. I say 2 years because it's been a year and a half. I was asked to present a paper on common grace and the role of the body keeping the score, a Van der Kolk position. And I believe that was the summer of 23.
Okay, hold on just one second, mister. Let's define our terms here. What do you mean by common grace?
Well, that is the defining term. So common grace is typically the restraining grace of God. So when people say common grace, there's two categories. Saving grace leads to salvation or sanctification. Common grace experienced by all. But there's a wrestling with exactly what does common grace do? So common grace provides an environment in which we can live, Noahic covenant. Common grace allows for us to experience the patience of God and blessings of God. And that means that the sun shines on the unbeliever and the believer alike, or the rain falls on the believer and the unbeliever alike. That's common grace. It's the Wayne Grudemism of innumerable blessings. Everyone experiences those.
So God's goodness to all.
Goodness is probably better than grace because grace can actually communicate favor.
Sure. All right. So that is common grace. So a year and a half ago, you're asked to deliver a paper because there's already rumblings about the role of God's common grace in biblical counseling. Now, this is the world you swim in, so bring the rest of us up to speed here.
Sure.
What does common grace have to do with biblical counseling?
Well, that's the best question of all, I think, because we're all trying to clarify what it has to do with biblical counseling and what it doesn't. And that's where...
in generic, you know, just pulling back the lens a little bit. Basically, the principle is, so do you see God's common grace intersecting with the sufficiency of the Bible and biblical counseling?
Yeah, so here's the way it intersects. There are individuals, counselors, and some are calling themselves biblical counselors who are saying because of God's common grace, unbelievers can know true things, and thus we should seek to understand those true things in the realm of psychology. So we should study an unbelieving psychologist to learn what we can from them. And why is that? Because of God's common grace, unbelievers can know true things. So it affects a big word of epistemology, how you know what you know, how you believe what you believe, what is truth. It affects that category, but it also affects anthropology. What does common grace do to people? Meaning, does it redeem them, capacitate them, save them, enable them? That's where the conversation has been leading.
All right, and let me put this in the vernacular of the peasantry, me. So what I hear you saying is that there are some in biblical counseling, which historically has said, all you need is the Bible. We don't need to consult with outside sources. That would be more of an integrationalist approach where we incorporate worldly thinking into our biblical counseling, which we would historically, correct me if I'm wrong, call Christian counseling. Biblical counseling is more of a purist approach to just using the Bible. What I'm hearing you saying is some people are saying, but wait, we all agree. Yes, there is common grace. And pagans can think and create things and observe things. And they can come up with right conclusions. They can invent automobiles and pharmaceuticals. So why not take what they've learned in the field of psychology and incorporate it into our biblical counseling? Am I setting the table correctly?
That's right. And the term that's typically used is some type of informed. So trauma-informed or clinically informed, meaning I'm going to go learn from a clinician about how they would counsel this situation. And then I'm going to take the Bible, combine both of those forms of knowledge to help minister holistically, quote unquote, to this person. And that's now how common grace has come to the front and center of biblical counseling.
What are the nuances distinguishing what you're describing as what some are calling redemptive counseling,
right,
or clinically informed counseling, and just a classic integrationalist approach?
Right.
That's, is there a difference?
Well, that's been the part of the concern all along is just say you're an integrationist instead of calling yourself a biblical counselor. But there is this weird third category of clinically informed biblical counseling that is saying we are going to redeem more than just the use of scripture. We're going to do our best to harvest and even traffic in theories that seem to help. And so that's where I would say the historic, faithful sufficiency of scripture biblical counselor would say, yes, just practice Christian integrationism and call it Christian integrationism.
But don't call it biblical counseling because you're importing other ideologies into it.
Right.
What, though, would you say to the individual who would claim, therefore, so you are rejecting common grace, Greg Gifford?
Yeah, I am defining common grace, and I am rejecting certain claims that are made via common grace. For instance, we would never say that an unbeliever's mind is renewed because of common grace. So there's no capacitation, no enabling. So you have a darkened understanding and a darkened mind still. So if you're using common grace to say the unbeliever's capacities are changed in some way, you're now talking more about salvific grace and not common grace. And I think that opens broader conversations for sin and the noetic effects of sin and the corruption of the mind.
This is what we're going to do. And to keep you amused and entertained, while we take a break, you are going to be busy listening to a sound off in the distance in Los Angeles, California. It's going to be a man gnashing his teeth, because I'm not going to let you to respond to these accusations, Greg Gifford. So you don't drive a car because pagans invented them. You don't let somebody build your house because unbelievers built them. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Greg Gifford? We'll be back. Enjoy that gnashing on Wretched Radio.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. This sounds like one of those too good to be true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight up dollar for dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax-deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money-multiplying moment ends. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org, and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's Word, showing how Scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transform and Dr. Greg Gifford now at FortisInstitute.org.
important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
He's not going to have any teeth left if we don't get back to it. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Greg Gifford, he is a fellow at Fortis Institute. His Transform podcast, it's burning up the charts, and you would benefit from listening to it every single week. It is fine. It is biblical counseling applied to your issues. All of them, because it is his belief, and I share it, the Bible is sufficient for all of life and godliness. And as we've been hearing in biblical counseling, which has just been so awesome for the last 40, 50 years, perhaps it's experiencing its first compromise, perhaps, its first assault, the first division, that we've seen in the biblical counseling movement over the issue of sufficiency of the Bible for every need that everybody has. All we need is the Bible versus those inside of Christianity, brothers and sisters who are saying, common grace informs us that God, he gives some light to people. They know how to invent things. They know how to build things. They can study things. They can come up with mathematical equations. So there's nothing wrong with dipping into that pool of knowledge because of common grace and then incorporating it into biblical counseling. And so Dr. Greg Gifford, amongst others, Dale Johnson from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, I know Heath Lampert just wrote a book on the subject. His book happens to be called Biblical Counseling and Common Grace. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And these are individuals, stop laughing, you're not on yet. You're supposed to be gnashing your teeth. These are individuals who have written a statement about the sufficiency of Scripture in biblical counseling in an effort to unite the camp. So Dr. Gifford, before the break, I said you are clearly an individual who therefore must just live in a cave because you reject all common grace, inventions, advancements, all of the eases and comforts that we have that came from pagans. If you're going to be consistent, you got to reject those too. What would you say to that accusation?
I would say open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, and answer what can the natural person know? And the answer is natural things. And to utilize common grace, I almost said weaponize, but to utilize common grace to say the natural man can now know spiritual things is just patently unbiblical. Paul is making a case for the only world that the natural man can know is the physical natural world. So when a person objects and says, wait a minute, an unbeliever can design a car, a house, a chiropractor can be an unbeliever. Yes. What are they dealing with? They're dealing with the natural world, but common grace is not enabling them to know that natural world completely and truly. So for instance, go to your unbelieving chiropractor and ask them, what is the purpose of your spine? What is the ultimate purpose of your spine? And your unbelieving chiropractor cannot answer that question. The ultimate purpose of my spine is to glorify God. Seriously. So when those claims are made, we're talking about natural knowledge, but we're talking more about observations of the natural world, not even the telos, the purpose, the reason why it exists in the first place. So you can't use common grace to then couch that in some form of an unbeliever can know true things because of common grace. That's not the same thing. We're not talking about the same categories.
It seems to me that the only way that we know if something is true is if the source of truth identifies it as true. And so let's just say a group of unbelievers, they've identified something that we smell. Hey, that seems to be true. Well, how do we know if that is something that is indeed true? Because I can think it's true, but because of the noetic effect of the fall, my understanding of truth is warped, so I might not have it right. So I need to go to the straight line, which is the Bible, which tells me whether or not that common grace ideology is indeed true. So if that's the case, it seems to me, I don't need to go on that journey through common grace. I just need to stick in the Bible because it's going to be my ultimate source anyway, because I can't even know what is true inside of common grace without the authoritative word. Am I on crack?
You are on crack, but I think you're right still. And the answer that I would also add, or maybe just one more observation, is the categories of knowledge that you talk about, they have to be separated. Because if we're just talking about studying nature, that is very different from studying human motivation in psychology. So it's very different to talk about your chiropractor. I'll use that illustration. It's very different to talk about a chiropractor studying the spine as opposed to an unbeliever studying human motivation. Those are inaccessible categories of information to the unbeliever. They do not have God's spirit. They cannot know the things of God according to the scripture. So the objection is automobile and psychologist. And then I would say, those aren't common grace, but what can the unbeliever know? They can know observations about an automobile, but they cannot know that it is inaccessible information to know immaterial spiritual things like human motivation.
Let me try to press on that by using a very specific example. And you defend your position regarding sufficiency and that we should not go swimming in the common grace pool. Yoga. Greg, we've observed yoga. It helps people. Breathing. It seems to calm people down. It brings clarity. It works. What say you?
There's a pragmatist in all of us. And so you have to say, what does it work to do? Is there a place for physical exercise? If you're saying yoga, i.e. stretching, without all of the weird Eastern mysticism stuff, that physical exercise is helpful, then that is an observation about the physical world. But that is not to say that yoga will renew your mind. Yoga will change your motivation. So what are you doing? You're addressing symptoms and you're trying to do it with weird means in the end.
Okay, I'm going to say it my way. And then you tell me if I've got this correct. Well, I mean, I want to make sure I get it. Hey, don't laugh at me. I'm doing what you teach in biblical counseling about communications. I'm asking if I'm understanding you correctly, Greg.
I'm ready for it. I want to hear it.
So what I hear you saying is that, sure, there can be some benefits to breathing. It can make your body for a second feel better for however long that it lingers. If stretching makes you feel good, that's nice. But it's not going to renew your mind. It's not going to fix whatever ails you. That must be from the Bible. How'd I do?
Yes.
Alrighty. So this issue now, you believe, it's getting hot enough for you and a group of others. I mentioned Dale Johnson. I mentioned Heath Lambert. Anybody else involved in this document that you've dropped online?
I would encourage the listener to look up sufficiencystatement.com and you can see the original signatories. There were about 90 something of us that were the original signatories. And then it was opened up to whoever else wanted to endorse it. And so, yeah, the issue has gotten hot enough where we said, hey, we need to at least get something going to help identify what is and what is not. And part of being faithful is you do have to correct false teaching and teach sound doctrine. So this was kind of our attempt of critiquing false teaching so we could then build up sound doctrine on this.
Well, that was your third point in the statement. You really should go read it. It will edify you even if biblical counseling isn't the world you swim in. Because you do talk about common grace, you talk about biblical counseling, the sufficiency of scripture, and conduct in contemporary conflict. I have to believe that was your way of saying, hey, y'all, let's play nice. Am I correct?
Right, because there's no place for mischaracterizing people or making it even a personal attack.
No reason to.
Right.
And these individuals that disagree with you on the sufficiency of scripture and biblical counseling, rank heretics? Kind of heretics, not heretics at all.
I would put them in the not heretics at all, but mistaken on this one particular issue.
Sure. Okay. So we can live with it without kicking everybody out of the camp and dividing and fracturing over everything that we just happen to hold near and dear.
I told one of them, Todd, we were texting recently and I said, you know, we disagree on this matter, but I think we could fellowship if we attended the same church and be just fine.
I would hope so. So this is an in-house debate. And I think if nothing else is accomplished with this, if it keeps biblical counseling from getting divided, I sure hope that doesn't happen. I really hope that does, because biblical, I know over the years there have been a couple of skirmishes about this and that, definitions, methodologies, etc. But I like bigger, I like stronger, I like better and not broken. But Greg, if there's just one thing maybe you would consider compromising on, for the individual who struggles with sadness, depression, or perhaps obsessive thinking, what's wrong with snapping a rubber band on your wrist to get over it? What's wrong with that, I ask you?
You're taking the proverbial Tylenol, Todd. That's the...
Okay, so it snaps you into attention. The pain distracts you from something. Okay, yeah, it does all of that. But that's physical worlds. It doesn't deal with the spiritual, the inner man. It maybe addresses to a degree the outer man, but it does not help the inner man, which, by the way, your book, when it comes out, it is going to be, you talk about a bomb being dropped. Greg's book, it's going to be out in a few months. Lies My Therapist Told Me. Brace yourself. That is going to be super helpful for believers and super shocking to the unbeliever. This is Wretched Radio.